Good morning, everyone. Sure nice to be here. And I want to welcome everyone, whoever's listening, wherever you may be. As it could be in your homes or around the world somewhere, and you're listening to this service, welcome. Before I start with the opening psalms like I had intended, I went to the post office this morning and I seen a funeral card there with this prayer, and I thought I would share it. I thought it was very fitting. And it said, it's the teacher's prayer. Lord, enable me to teach with wisdom, for I help to shape the mind. Equip me to teach with truth, for I help to shape the conscience. Encourage me to teach with vision, for I help to shape the future. Empower me to teach with love, for I help to shape the world. Now I'm going to read out of Psalms 143, and David was often in a spot where he felt he really needed God. So I'm going to read the whole Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give me ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into the judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide me thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Here we see David is very thirsty for the word of God. We know that David had trials in his life because of some of the choices he had made, but it was drawing him closer to God. He wanted God to teach him that he could be more worthy and honorable to him. In verse 8 it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. David trusted in God, therefore he wants to do what God wants him to do. It goes on to say, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. So David had a desire where God wanted him to walk, do what God wanted him to do. It says in verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. He wanted God to be his God, and goes on to say that thy spirit lead me into the land of uprightness. He had a hunger and a thirst to do God's will. Do we have that hunger and thirst? Is that why we're listening to this message today or reading God's word? My wish and prayer would be that you would truly have a hunger and a thirst for God's word. As we get into this message, we will see what God has in store for his church and followers. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your precious grace and love that you share with us. I thank you, Lord, that you can be here with us in our homes, in this church, wherever we may be, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us at all times. Be with us this morning as we meditate on your word and listen to your message, that it will penetrate into our hearts and that we can share it with others, that we can live a godly life. Be with our government as well to lead and guide them in the decisions that they make, that they can be to your honor and glory. And for the sick and the lonely and all the ones out there that are thirsty for your word, be with them. Be with us all this morning and for myself, that give me strength to speak your words. In thy precious name, amen. We're going to have two songs at this time.
In your blue hymnal, page 480, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Number 480. Page 425, Faith is the Victory. 425. Enclamped along the hills of blood, ye crowned.
Faith is the victory. Jesus Christ is the victory over sin. He loved us that much. So today's message I have titled, Knowing and Doing. Knowing the Word of God and then applying it to our lives. So we're going to start off with the first scripture, which comes out of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And it reads as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the man, will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So where did the Bible come from? It says, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God was the Word. So from the beginning, he spoke through godly men and women to put the Word on paper so that people could read and understand the Word. Scholars and scribes memorized the Scripture so that they could spread the Word to others. God's plan was even bigger than that. God came into the world as man so that we would have an example and a witness of that true light, that we could see how we should live and how we should act and how we should answer others. So the real question today is, do we read our Bible? How much do we read our Bible? Is your Bible worn, rickety? Pages maybe even a little torn, well used. When we open it up, we know exactly where the books of the Bible are. We don't have to go search. Or is our Bible on a shelf where we may not even know where it is? Maybe even in a drawer where we put it a long time ago and we forgot where it was. When we do find it, is there a lot of dust on it? When we open it up, maybe we don't even know if we're in the Old or New Testament or where the books of the Bible are. Are we excited to be a Christian to live for Jesus? Can people see around us that we have the enthusiasm that we need to be that light in the world? I believe when we walk amongst people, people should be able to see that we are Christians that love Jesus with all our heart, mind, and soul. In verse 9, it states that Jesus Christ is that true light. Are we letting that light shine through us so that other people can see who Jesus really is? Are we that true light? Are we that true example that Jesus wants us to be? So let's go to Luke 2, verses 42 to 49, and see what Jesus did. Luke 2, 42 to 49. Now, this is Jesus in the temple. He stayed back in the temple when he was 12 years old. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? So here we see Jesus, even as a little boy at 12 years old, was not concerned about worldly things. His mind was focused on learning or doing his father's will. So when his parents came back and found him, he wasn't in a play center playing on a slide or a swing, or even found with some friends playing on a teeter-totter in the park. No, but instead, he was with the teachers in the temple, the ones that were telling others about God. He was listening and talking with them, asking them questions, and they were so astonished how knowledgeable Jesus was, and that he understood the words and the answers that they had, and that he was willing to learn and a yearning to learn more about God, about his heavenly Father, and about the truth. And when his mother and father found him in the temple, they were amazed at what they saw and heard. Then when she asked him, Why did you leave me? I think the answer was amazing. It says in verse 49, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Here he was telling his mother and father that you should have known that I am doing my father's will. So when we became Christians, are we doing our father's will? We have an earthly father and a spiritual father, just like Jesus said. Are we doing and going about our Father's business? That is, our Father in heaven. Let's think about this for a moment. Let's go to the story of the sower, what we call today the farmer. I think we all know that story well enough. We don't have to go there and read it. But there is a sower, or the farmer, sowing the seed. In those days, they sowed the seed a little bit differently than we do today. They didn't have machinery to put the seed in the ground like today. Instead, they had a pouch that they carried with them, and with their hand, or whatever they used, they would spread it around. So some fell on the wayside, some fell on stony ground, and some fell in the thorns, but some fell on good ground. So my question today is, are we the good ground that the seed fell on, that someone has planted into us? May it be our parents when we were young, or the pastors when we went to church, could even be the Sunday school teachers. But we do know for sure that someone has planted that seed into our lives. Let's make sure that it has fallen on good ground. I thought of an illustration that would compare it to our lives. If we would plant an apple tree, and I watered and fertilized it, did whatever I needed to do to make it grow, God gave the rain, the moisture that it needed, and it gave lots of apples. But I didn't pick the apples. I didn't do anything with the apples. Would that be a wise thing? Would that be a smart thing to do? Just leave the apples on the tree and not pick them? Then later the winds would come. They fell on the ground, started to rot, and the birds, ants, or other insects came and devoured the fruit. What a waste. So if that's what I did, why did I even plant the tree? That would make no sense, would it? But instead, we would pick the apples, use them for food, or maybe even juice some that we can use it for the nourishment for our bodies, like Jesus had intended for. Would that not be a wiser thing to do? Are we doing that as well? When the seed is planted in us, are we actually using that seed to nourish and grow and be well-rooted in the Lord? Just like that apple tree was well-rooted, we will also bear good and lots of fruit, just like that apple tree did. Then other people will see that it is good and attractive fruit and will want to have what we have just by us living a good and godly example. So more people will come to know the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and also he had favor with God and man. Are we doing the same, that we are always increasing in wisdom and by reading our Bibles every day and studying it, that we can grow closer with God? It says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We see in this verse that the more we study the word of God, we will know the truth from the untruth, and we won't be ashamed to tell people about the truth. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The heading above these verses in my Bible says, steadfastness in the Scriptures. So are we being steadfast, reading the Bible each and every day? It says in verse 15 that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith. All the wisdom that we need is in the Bible, inspired by Christ. So let's look at verse 16. Do we know our Bible well enough that we could tell someone what to believe and where they have gone wrong and how to correct that wrong or sin? And if we do know our Bible well enough, we will want to become that person or servant that God wants us to become. So the real question is, who does God want us to become? Let's look at 1 John 5, verses 1 to 21. 1 John 5, 1 to 21. I'm going to read the whole chapter because I feel that there's a lot in this chapter that we can learn from, but we're going to be focusing on verses 17 to 21. And they read as follows. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that became by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he that has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know what he hear us, that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Do we know Christ well enough so that we don't sin intentionally? Like it says in verse 18, let's get to know him well enough that we know that he is the true living Son of God and that he can truly dwell inside of us. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Everything that we do should be for the honor and glory for Jesus Christ and not ourselves. So now that we are clothed with Christ, are we listening when God is calling us to his service? It says in verse 19, and we know we are God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So if we are of God, God wants to use us to get the rest of the world to know who Jesus is. Let's go to Acts 9, verses 4 to 6, and see how God gets Saul's attention. We're speaking of Saul here, starting in verse 4. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. God put Saul in a spot where he listened. Is God putting us in a spot today where we are listening? With this COVID virus that we're dealing with at this time, are we wondering what God has in store for us? Are we listening to God now that we're staying at home and can't go anywhere? We have time to do something and listen. So are we listening to God? Are we going out to spread the word to others to build up his church? Are we being positive? Are we letting our light shine so that others can get to know the Lord? I know for myself, having a steel business, I get some customers in, and it's a great opportunity to spread the word of God. I know usually before this COVID came in, we would always talk about the weather. But now, there are people that are so feared, they're listening to what God wants from them. To hear something positive, to hear the love of God. I know I've talked to people about the word of God through this pandemic. Normally I cannot. So people are listening because they're looking for something. They know they're lacking something. And all that I can tell them is God is in control of all things. And he has a purpose for it. And God loves us. And he won't do anything to hurt us. So are we listening to God at this time? Can we say, like Paul did after his conversion, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So are we saying, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord, I'll be happy where I'm at, in what you set before me. Yes, Lord, I'll trust you. Yes, Lord, I can do whatever you set before me, because I know you'll give me strength. Jesus gave his all for me. How can I give anything less? So my hope and desire is for you to hear when God is speaking to you, for you to clearly identify the activity of God in your life, for you to believe him and that he'll do everything he promised, and for you to adjust your beliefs, behaviors, and character to him and his ways, and for you to see a direction that he is taking you in your life and what he wants to do through your life. For you to clearly know what you need to do in response to his activity in your life. John 14:12 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Because he went to heaven to be with his Father, he left us the responsibility here on earth to sow the seed that he wants us to sow. And then for you to experience God, and that he will work through all of us what only God wants us to do. I think the songwriter says it very well through the song, I Have Decided, and I'm going to read it right now. I have decided I'm going to live like a believer, turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't, because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. There's a wealth of things that I possess. I said that I believe, but deep inside, I never changed. I guess I'd been deceived, 'cause a voice inside kept telling me that I changed by and by, but the Spirit made it clear to me that kind of life is a lie. So forget the game of being good and your self-righteous pain, 'cause the only good inside your heart is the good that Jesus brings. When the world begins to see you change, don't expect them to applaud. Just keep your eyes on him and tell yourself, I've become the work of God. I'm going to repeat the chorus again. I have decided I'm going to live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't, because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. So my question is today, have you decided to live for Christ? Have you decided you're going to leave it for the Lord? Let the Lord take responsibility of your life. Let the Lord lead and guide you. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work through us so that others can get to know the Lord also. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are we that workman that Paul is talking about in this verse, that we can go tell others about what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me, that others can get to know him personally as well? Let's not be ashamed. like it says in that verse, to go spread the good news. Let's evaluate our own lives and make sure that we have our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can be a good example when we go tell others about Christ. So if there's anyone out there listening today that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day to seek him or talk to someone that can help you with that relationship. Today is that day because we do not know if we have tomorrow. God's desire is that everyone would have a personal relationship with him. His son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for yours and my sins. It doesn't matter how big or small the sin is. He has paid that price. Won't you come to him today? Won't you seek him? He is waiting. Let's seek him today. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for coming to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, to have the plan of salvation, and then to go up again to heaven with God to prepare a place for us, that we can have that mansion that is set aside for us. So we know, Lord, that you want as many to come your way as possible. So give us the strength today to sow that seed into others and that it can fall on good ground. Be with each and every one this coming week and the days to come to give us all strength to really look at our own lives and ask ourselves, are we doing what I can? Are we doing everything you want us to do? Give us that strength, Lord, in thy precious name. Amen. At this time, we're going to have two songs.
In your blue hymnal, 365, Trust and Obey. Number 365.
Not a frown or a cross, but it's best. but we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay for the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Number 287, we have an anchor. 287.
Your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold and their wings of strife, when the strong winds bite and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Is it safely moored? Will the storm withstand? For 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables pass from His heart to mine, can defy that blast through the strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempest rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall arm break or flow. We have an anchor
Yes, very fitting song. We have an anchor that holds fast. Are we rooted deep in that anchor? That anchor is Jesus Christ. And if we're anchored on him, we can withstand the storms of life. Let's all bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now walk carefully, the Lord is watching. Thanks for listening.